Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on December 2nd, 2015. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
All right, we're back. It's great to be back. It's great to have Jackie back. You can read all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm back.
Yes.
I was
speechless. You're back.
I know. That threw you for a loop. That wasn't me speaking. That was actually me on tape.
No. Yeah. It's wonderful to have you back. And how was New York?
I was in New Jersey.
New Jersey. Sorry.
I was at the Jersey Shore, Point Pleasant, with my family. I think there were, 17, 19 of us.
Wow.
In one giant house for the week.
17 or 19 Italians in one house?
Yeah, it was loud. And there was a lot of food and drink, and we had, me, Joe, I rocked it till the wheels came off. When we got home, I was a little under the weather.
Uh-huh.
But I rested up all weekend, so I'm back, and it was great. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was wonderful to have my kids together. My daughter from Davis came down, and it was wonderful. We had everybody together, and we were very thankful.
I bet.
Thankful.
I was catching up on Facebook, and, the parents, they're never happier than when all their kids come back for the holidays. The smiles, they're just so genuine. Everybody's just so happy when everybody's together. That's what it's all about, right?
And I'm sure Sissy was very happy.
Yeah, she had the whole clan under one roof.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, and oh my goodness, the kids have gotten so big.
Yeah. How old is your mom now?
90, yes.
90, wow.
Yes,
that's
yes. Amazing. And we had four generations under one roof. It was amazing.
All right.
A lot of fun, a lot of food.
All right, that's the way it should be.
That's right.
All right. And, of course, food. I love that
food,
word.
Fabulous food. It's our favorite subject.
It is, and we're going to talk about multiple generations of food preparers and chefs, and that's exciting too because it all happens in the South Bay. Who are our guests today?
Well, we have one guest. Our guest this morning is Orlando Moulet of the new restaurant Orlando's Pizzeria and Birreria, located in Redondo Beach. Now, from a young age, Orlando loved to watch people prepare food. His Italian grandmother, his mom, and the chefs that worked at his family restaurant inspired him and made him eager to start cooking. Orlando's father was a butcher and owned a family butcher shop/Italian grocery store. Later, he opened two restaurants. Orlando Le Roy du Sous-Marin and Trattoria del Buon Gustaio. Orlando worked in both establishments weekends and summers growing up. After 2 years of school in a business commerce program at Dawson College, he decided to pursue a managerial position in the restaurant and try out as chef. Now, with 26 years of experience in the food service, Orlando brings his successful recipes to the South Bay. As the chef owner of Orlando's Pizzeria and Birreria, he is always trying to refine his palate. He enjoys learning from different cultures and meeting interesting people who have a passion for cooking, and this makes it a pleasure to go into work every single day. So this morning, we're going to hear how Orlando landed in the South Bay via Canada and Italy. And FYI, I've already eaten at Orlando, so I can speak from experience. And by the way, Joe, I also have a reservation for our annual Christmas lunch with my Italian group there in a couple of weeks. So anyway, welcome to the program, Orlando. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, Joe. Thank you for having me.
We're very excited. And Joe, did you put your...
The way you described me sounds really, really a smile to my face.
That's one of my skill sets is taking the bio and,
right.
and making people sound fantastic.
Right. You would be proud to meet this gentleman, right, Orlando?
Yes.
Yes, would, yes.
I've done a lot of miles,
I guess, through the many years of cooking. It's been so long, but yet, you know, I still look good. I still look young. So I tell people I have 35 years experience in the food industry because I started when I was 10 years old, you know. So, my goodness, time flies.
It is true that you do have all of that experience because you were sitting watching your grandmother and your mother and the other chefs at your family's restaurants cooking. You must have picked up a lot of clues about how a kitchen runs well, how to treat people in a kitchen, how to manage a kitchen. These are skills that you know can serve you your whole life. Tell us a little bit about the beginnings. We want to hear, you know, how it started all. What are your first memories of food?
My first memories of food. My grandmother at Christmas time making isprinji. Springy, which was just like a little pastry ball fried up in her pan, and she would flip them and just get them perfectly golden brown and then let them sit a bit and let the oil just absorb into the, you know, dry the oils off and then sprinkle them with sugar and then just pile them up and then take a bit of honey and drizzle it over it, and that was a springy that she used to make. And I never could understand how they got so fluffy and soft, and no one ever seemed to follow her recipes. Like she had nothing written down; it was all by memory. You know, everything was by taste and a pinch of this and a pinch of that. Nothing was measured, you know, and she got them perfect every time, every Christmas. You know, and then she would make this. This custard in a bowl that would set, and then she would have these birthday sprinkles that she would put on top, and they would just absorb into the color would just absorb into the top layer of the custard, and with a bit of vermouth, and I still taste it in my mouth, you know. I was maybe like 4 or 5 years old, you know.
Wow.
And that was one of the joys of cooking with. When Christmas time came around, and my mom, my aunt, my grandma, we all lived in the same building complex together. So everyone would come to our complex, all the kids, all the cousins, and it would be a lot of people in the house, really, like in every room. You know, that was fun. Those were fun memories.
That's fantastic. Where did you live in Canada?
It was in Montreal.
In Montreal, yeah.
I was born in Montreal. My parents were born in Sicily. But I grew up in Montreal, basically. Born in Montreal, lived in Montreal most of my life. Traveled to Italy a few times. This is where I was born. This is where I grew up.
What is the you know, Montreal is often thought of as a very cosmopolitan city. Obviously, there's a huge French and Italian influence to the cuisine. How would you describe Montreal in terms of food?
Montreal is very, very cosmopolitan. It's very diverse. You have a Haitian community, you have a Puerto Rican community, you have an Italian, Little Italy section, you have a Chinatown. You have different parts of Montreal, with the Jewish area and the Greek area. And so growing up, you know, going out with my friends, we would always stop, you know, in Park X, which is Park Extension, where it would be a Greek community. And we have this one restaurant that we would go to where we would have, you know, the gyros and the meat on a stick. And that was a really unique spin on Greek food. And then we would go to Chinatown, and we have our place in Chinatown where we would go and eat, you know. So we would always try different places and always end up, you know, at a unique spot where we know the food was good, and we would have a, you know, we would have an international cuisine if we wanted to, you know. We have a nice little Asian restaurant where we could get some pork chops and rice and beans, you know.
Wow.
And it just developed that way, and you can go to Old Montreal, and then there's fascinating restaurants in Old Montreal with amazing chefs that, you know, have just brought Old Montreal to life, and every restaurant is amazing. It's so unique in its in its palate, you know.
Can you tell us about poutine?
Oh, the poutine, yes, the French cuisine. Growing up in Montreal, there was the Montreal Pool Room, which has been there for like 50 years, but closed down recently. And it would be the hot dogs. Like, everybody went to the Montreal Pool for hot dogs and poutine, you know. And that was basically the national dish of the Quebec people, of hot dogs and poutine. So the poutine is basically cut fries, fresh cut fries, with cheese curds on top, and then, you know, drizzled with the poutine sauce, which is a brown gravy. And, yeah, that's comfort food right there, you know. It's fun to eat.
No, the only reason I ask about it is because I see it on menus here in the South Bay, and I had never heard of it before.
It's getting more and more popular. It's like I said, it's comfort food, so everybody recognizes comfort food, and when they eat it, it's like, oh yeah, that's good, that's hearty, you know, and it just satisfies a nice craving for the moment, you know.
Is that specific to Montreal, or is it all of Canada?
That is specific to Montreal and Quebec. It's a French-Canadian dish. It was invented amazingly in the South Bay area. There's a lot of people from French Canada, from Quebec, and there's an old lady that's been living 48 years in the South Bay area. She came here with her husband, José and Gaetan, and I met them, and it's 48 years they're here. They came on their honeymoon and just decided to stay here. And the lady has not lost her French accent at all. And we spoke, and she started telling me the story of the poutine and where it originated from, which was, I believe, in Three Rivers or something like that. I'm pretty sure it was on Three Rivers. It's fun to see how many Quebecois there is here in Los Angeles. They even have a Quebecois association, you know, for the Les Québécois de Los Angeles, apparently. Which is, I got to meet the vice president. Also, she gave me an eat at the restaurant. She's the vice president of the Los Angeles, Les Québécois de Los Angeles, you know? So it was interesting to see how many people from Canada are here, people from Montreal. I discovered two blocks away from my house, there's my friend Pino that went to John F. Kennedy High School, but he's just like a couple of years older, but he just lives two blocks away from me, you know? And we got to meet him. He came into the restaurant, and it's great to see how many people from Montreal are here, you know?
We are the melting pot.
We are.
Well, I wanted to get back to what you were saying about watching your grandmother, your first memories of food. And, Joe, you too, include you in this. You know, growing up, I have the I have the same memories of my mother in the kitchen prepping and cooking and me sitting there waiting for the scraps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, there were certain dishes, you know, my favorite dishes, and the kitchen was the center of the house, you know, so
right.
you always knew when she was in there and what she was doing, and when I knew she was making, I was a huge fan of mozzarella cheese growing up, so whenever she was making Italian with mozzarella, I would go sit in the kitchen and I'd wait for her, and she'd always, you know, toss me a piece of cheese, or when she was doing desserts and stuff, she would toss me the sweets. Did you do that, Joe?
Yes, I did.
I think those of us of a certain generation remember that. I don't know if kids do that anymore.
Well, we didn't have iPods and video games and your female cousins around. Did you do that, Jackie?
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, last week while I was with my family, we had six kids. 15 to, I think, Luke is the youngest of four.
Right.
And it was a three-story house, and it had all these entrances and stairs, and they literally just chased each other up and around.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they did, yeah.
Right. Okay, well, then you can either chase your other cousins around or sit in the kitchen and wait for scraps.
Right, yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with you, Orlando?
Yeah, we always waited for my grandmother to finish with the spoon so we could lick the spoon afterwards or
the bowl.
Mixer, you know,
the bowl, the spoon,
the
mixer.
The bowl here.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was always a challenge because we were like four or five cousins growing up together. And it was always like, oh, who's going to get the last tomato? Or because, you know, my grandfather had a garden all over the house, so the building complex. So we had fresh tomatoes and fresh peas and lettuce and zucchini and all these vegetables. So every time we would sit at the table and have, let's say, a nice, amazing platter of tomatoes with olive oil and basil, there was always, I remember this like yesterday, it was always my cousin, like at the end, who would grab the last tomato and then he would just take his bread and boom, slap it on the oil and the rest of the seeds and tomato juice.
Yeah.
And we would say, oh, Joe, you know, because we all loved dipping our bread into the tomato juice and olive oil. And he would always be the first one to get his bread in, all of it completely, so he could scoop it all up and then just...
Oh.
That, you
know? That's our Joe.
That's
funny that I remember that just now, you know.
That's the dark Joe.
Dark Joe.
My cousin Joe. Yeah, I had a cousin Joe. Mm. Joe.
Yeah. This is where food and family and childhood all melt together into a wonderful mix, and that's when you put together a restaurant or a dining establishment. If you can achieve that in a way that people celebrate the fine moments of their lives, birthdays and anniversaries, and they feel that feeling that they're in a comfortable, warm, embracing place, they'll come back over and over and over again. Where did the concept for the current Orlando's Pizzeria, and is it Birreria?
It's Birreria.
Birreria?
Birreria.
Okay.
That's beer in Italian. Birreria is beer.
It's like it's a place where you serve beer, a pub or a tavern.
Birreria. Yes.
Birreria.
Birreria. And so, where did the concept come from?
The concept comes from growing up in my dad's trattoria and pizzeria. So I always wanted to combine both of them together.
Yeah.
So this is why we have the pizzeria, but I wanted to do an upscale pizzeria with the gourmet pizzas and finer foods, you know.
Mm, mm, mm.
So I decided to the story started with my wife getting an agent in Miami,
mm-hmm.
and then from meeting her agent in Miami, he lives in the South Bay Area, and so we started looking for a restaurant in the South Bay Area near a good school zone. And trying to find a house at the same time. So it all melted together, and
mm-hmm.
we found this spot right on at the corner of Prospect and Torrance. And I noticed that there was a lot of traffic, so I said, how come this restaurant is not working? How come there's not a lot of people in this restaurant? And then I said to myself, you know, if I make a restaurant here and the people try my food, they'll come back. It'll be a destination place where they have to go, you know, eat again over and over again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the concept just blended together with all the foods that I love to eat and all the recipes that I've amassed, all the tastes that I've combined and put together over the many years. And each pizza and each pasta is a dish that I love to eat and I love to make. And so this is how the concept came together, and this is what we put on the menu. Like, the core dishes on the menu are some of my favorite dishes.
Wow.
Well, we also have to explain that the space that you're in now used to be a Pizza Hut, so you can't really compare. You know, Pizza Hut is, it's Pizza Hut. It's fast food.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of that, most of that is delivery, right? So it's not, so people didn't go there. It wasn't, Pizza Hut was not a destination. So they took over this Pizza Hut space in a great location. And, this is nothing like Pizza Hut.
No, I love that location.
Yeah, it's a great location. It was funny because my husband and I went a couple of months ago. We went in and I remember it was Pizza Hut, and you know the building still looks the same from the outside. But the minute you open the door and you walk in, you're like, oh, this isn't Pizza Hut. I thought Orlando's Pizzeria. I thought it was going to be similar, you know, and it's not. It's not. It's a fine dining restaurant. They did a gorgeous job with the interior. And Orlando, you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, it took us 6 months to renovate the restaurant. We had some issues with the layout of the restaurant, so we hired an architect, Lewis Skelton, and he did a fantastic job in the conceptualization of the feel of the restaurant, because it was an odd-sided rectangle, almost like a rhombus or an equilateral triangle rectangle.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, he placed it together where the bar made it so it's all uniform. And then my wife came in to the restaurant and we decided she wanted a cement floor look and she wanted a cement bar.
Mm-hmm.
And the ceiling was completely brown, dark brown. And so we sandblasted the ceiling and then we did a whitewash varnish on it. And it came out really looking beautiful. And then she found these amazing lanterns, lamps. Ceiling lamps that just hang down like umbrella lamps, and we did the tables ourselves, and we sanded the chairs, and we refurbished them, you know, and we did a lot of work ourselves. So we put a lot of love into the restaurant, and when we finally finished, and we sat down, and the health department signed off on us, and we sat down with our kids, and we made a pizza for the first time. We just sunk into the place. It was a surreal moment where we just sunk into the place and we said, oh my God, honey, I think we did something amazing here. Wow. It's a great feeling, you know?
Wow.
When you can achieve that. And I think it just turned out wonderful, you know? And thanks to my wife, her color palette and her artwork that's inside the restaurant just brings it to life, you know? And when people walk in, they feel it. They actually can feel the coziness, you know, and the warmth.
Hmm.
And then when they try the food, they feel it again, you know? So it's like, oh, I feel at home here. And that's what we wanted to bring, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we've achieved that.
And Joe, Orlando's wife is an artist. Orlando, will you just tell us a little bit about your wife? Some of her paintings hanging there.
Yes, her name is Carole Beauvais. And she had done this painting with an X right in the middle of it called I Am Here. And when she did that painting, I said, oh, that painting's going to be in our restaurant when we open it up.
Mm.
And so we made a spot for it. We had these recessed walls made exactly to fit her paintings. And we had some lighting to shine upon them. And she's an amazing artist. She got her agent. I mean, we met her agent, Joe Nazzullo, in Miami in 2013. And then from there, it just got the ball rolling. And he said, if you come to California, I'll be your agent. And it's really hard to find an agent in Montreal, of all places. It's very difficult to find an agent. So when he said that to her, she took his word for it, and he's true to his word, and we you know, as they say, yada yada yada, here we are in Redondo Beach, you know. And just from there, just got the ball rolling, and we made plans to get our visa, and then and then we made plans to buy the restaurant, and then there's so much paperwork, and then to get the loan for the house, it was it was a very stressful year and a half, but we did it, you know, we're here.
Does your wife have a website to publicize her paintings?
Yes, she does. Her website is carolbeauvais.com, and our website is right there.
Oh.
That was a lot of work. So you did all this since 2000. When did the restaurant open?
It opened in March. We did a soft opening in February 19th, and then our grand opening was March 18th. So
wow.
It's been open almost 9 months.
Wow, so you did all of this. You did the move and all of that in less than a year and a half.
And yes, in less than a year and a half, we sold our house up in Canada, and we just stepped away from the table, and we were very well rooted in Montreal. We were like very comfortable. We didn't have to worry about any finances or, you know, any mortgages or stuff like that, or rent or anything like that. And then people say, "Well, are you crazy? Well, what are you doing? You're nuts. You know, why are you gonna do this?" And I said, "Well, I'm doing it for my wife and for my kids, and this is what I want to do. I've always dreamed about living by the beach, having a little hacienda or a little cabana with a little restaurant, you know, selling during the day, and then at night, you know, opening the back doors and having a nice beach view. You know, that's what I wanted."
Mm-hmm.
So so it worked out, you know. It worked out.
Yeah, Canada is known for its beaches, exactly.
Yeah, and we got fed up with the cold. We wanted a change of scenery, you know. We knew that, you know, and we weren't happy in Quebec, and my wife wasn't happy, and my kids, I wanted to give my kids a good opportunity to have the best schools. And California, there are the best schools are here, and it's amazing how I just see the difference already with just, you know, the kindergarten that my daughter went to and the kindergarten that my son is going to now. It's night and day. Everyone's enthusiastic. Everyone's in a good mood, you know. It's funny, but
no.
They embarked on an adventure.
Yeah, an amazing adventure.
An amazing adventure. And Joe, it's time we need to take a commercial break.
Yes, that's true. And you are listening to the South Bay Show. We're talking pizzeria and birreria, restaurante in Redondo Beach. It's Orlando's place. It's home. It's what a great location. I love that. Prospect and Torrance Boulevard, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
The south east corner.
Yes, it's on 1000 Torrance Boulevard. I believe it's the east corner, yes.
Yes, yeah, southeast corner, yeah.
Southeast corner. If you'd like to ask Orlando a question, or if you have a comment, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And we'd also like to thank a sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
All right. Now, Orlando, help me with your wife's website. What's the website? Can you spell it for me?
Yes, it's C-A-R-O-L-E. And B as in boy, E-A-U, Z as in Victor, A-I-S as in Sam.
That would be Joe looking up the website.
That would be Joe looking up this. Okay. Okay.
Bovet.com. There you go.
There you go. Now, I don't often spell Bovet like that, but there you go.
How often do you spell Bovet?
Oh, well, I went through a few iterations like B-O-U-V-E-E. That's an artist in New York, but beautiful, large. She is a serious painter.
Yes, she's been painting since she was young. I mean, I've seen some of her young artwork when she was in elementary school, and it was amazing. And she actually got commissioned when she was 14 to do some postcards, which was her first job, I guess, as an artist. And I guess once you get paid, you become a professional artist. Is that how it works?
Right.
That's how it works. Yeah, once you get paid, you're no longer an amateur.
Yes, there you go. And if you look at her art and just some of the works that she's done, it's so vibrant. And, you know, she's one of the youngest artists in Quebec to have her own mural, public artwork with her own bronze plaque on the side of it, which is just outside a rowing club.
Yeah.
So it's facing the water, and people with their boats just stop by to look at it. It's 11 feet by 22 feet, and it's all Egyptian clay, and it's a beautiful piece. I don't know if you can see it on the website.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
The one called La Vision.
Yeah.
It's the 48 by 32.
Yeah.
I have the original in my house.
Wow.
So not only are we getting a world-class chef move to Redondo Beach, we've got a world-class artist, Joe.
That's very special. Very, very special. CAROLEBEAUVAIS.com.
That's her website.
Beautiful.
A lot of people have inquired about her. She's gotten, ever since we've arrived here and the restaurant opened, she's gotten more views and more hits on her website than ever before ever since she had her website on. So she's really excited about it. There's a little buzz about her artwork going around the South area. And, you know, people from New York are calling, and she's really excited, and we just have to find the right fit for her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we all know, the South Bay, particularly Redondo Beach, has quite a vibrant art scene.
Right.
You know, we got Arbag, you know, Redondo Beach Art Group, and Friends of the Redondo Beach Arts, and mm-hmm. We have a couple of great, great art shows throughout the year. Orlando, did you by any chance make it to the El Segundo Art Walk this past summer?
No, I did not. The only art walk we did was the Hermosa Beach Art Walk, which mm-hmm. was fascinating too. There's so many talented artists. It's incredible how beautiful and wonderful their works are. But I haven't been to the El Segundo one though.
Okay, well next summer you'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there one step at a time, you know.
Yeah, yeah, like
we have two kids, so like, our time is budgeted, you know.
Yeah, like you're not busy enough, right?
Exactly.
Well, listen, let's talk food, all right?
Food.
Let's talk food. Take us through your menu.
Okay, let's take you through the menu. So we have a very popular dish, a Sicilian dish on our menu called arancini. Arancini are rice balls. We make our arborio rice with some saffron and green peas, and then we saute some garlic, some shallots, some white wine, and we make these, it's almost like a risotto.
Mm.
And then we spoon them up, we take them into our palm, and we put a nice little sharp provolone inside, and we form the ball, then we put them in egg wash, flour, and then breadcrumbs. And then we deep fry them, finish them off in the oven, and then we top it with a very nice spicy marinara sauce. And when you take your fork and you put it right through it, it just splits like butter, and then the cheese just oozes out, and you have this wonderful risotto rice ball with a nice spicy little marinara sauce, and it's delicious to eat. Everyone finds it fun to eat, and they're surprised how moist the rice is.
Mm.
And so that's just one of our antipasti. And if you just go down the menu, everything is freshly made. Nothing comes out of a box and then put in the oven and then served. So, like our lasagna is made layer by layer, you know, with nice parmesan, some nice mozzarella cheese, and then another layer of pasta, a layer of sauce, and then, you know, you just build it. And the only way to make a good lasagna is by building it and taking your time and doing it properly.
Mm.
And so that's what we do at Orlando's.
You have a mozzarella and salumi bar, don't you? Or menu, not menu, it's on your menu. You have a selection, right?
Yes, we have a piatto di salumi. We have just like a salumi platter with some nice prosciutto, some Genoa salami, some fine mortadella. And we put it all together in a nice little dish, and then you can have also cheese platter, piatto di formaggi. I chose some Italian cheeses. It varies, you know, from season to season. And then you can have them both. You can have a piatto di salumi e formaggi, which is an assortment of fine Italian cured meats with assorted international cheeses. And if you ask the server, we have a special that you can have a bottle of wine with a piatto di formaggi salumi for like under $25.
Hmm.
So it's fun to not a lot of people eat that way anymore. I love eating that way. You know, you have a nice little picnic with a bottle of wine. You go get a nice Italian bread. You get a few cheeses, a few cold cuts, and a lunch. You know, under an olive tree.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's my favorite way to eat. I love to graze.
Yeah.
I prefer that. Mm-hmm. You know, as opposed to just one big dish. But don't get me wrong, I like the big dish, but my preference is to graze on you know, like a salumi board.
Mhm.
And it's fun. You can have some olives, you can pick and choose, you can even in Quebec, there's some amazing also, we used to do that like every week, my wife and I, before we had kids, with a nice little, how do you call them, croton or a nice little terrine, which was like a spread, you know, like a meat spread on some bread, and then we pick up some prosciutto, some cheeses, some olives, a nice, you know, and we would go by the canal, because we used to live by the canal Lachine when we were younger, and we used to love eating that way, you know, outside on the picnic table, and it's so much freer, you know, it's so much more relaxing when you eat that way, you know.
I agree. Mm-hmm. My husband and I do that regularly. We pack a picnic basket and we go down to Point Vicente Lighthouse, you know, and we'll just spend a couple of hours, you know, we'll grab a picnic table and we'll just spend a couple hours. We'll sit there. We'll read, you know, and just nosh.
Point, where did you say Point?
Point Vicente. It's the lighthouse in Palos Verdes.
Vincente.
Yeah, there's a lighthouse down there, and there's a nice park. It's a fairly large park area, and they have an amphitheater where you can go whale watching, and they have the interpretive center where you can learn, like, the local history of, I guess it was whaling, Joe?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But there are several, I mean, you could obviously do that on the beach. You know, you could do that any place in the South Bay, but there are a couple of special places.
Yeah, I got to try that with the family. That's fun. It's always fun to do. We always like to do an activity together. Sometimes we go hiking in Palos Verdes, but I never heard of the Point Vincente, so I'm going to try that out.
Oh, there's a great trail. There's a great trail. I think it's called Seaside Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's all graded, it's level, and it runs right along the cliffs. You know, there's a fence, and it runs right along the cliffs, and I don't even think it's a mile. It might be a mile back and forth, but it either ends or starts at the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and then there's a parking lot at the other end. You know, so you can...
Picnic basket.
Yep.
Picnic basket and Seaside Trail.
That's it. That's it. You got it. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah, so speaking about the menu, also the antipasti and the mozzarella, we have a nice burrata. We have a salad and soup, which is a comfort food of my wife's. She loves French tomato soup and grilled cheese, but it's a dish that they eat very often at her house. So we put it on our lunch menu.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the poutine de Montréal. We have the poutine. We have a smoked brisket poutine and an Italian sauce, like a meat sauce, bolognese sauce, instead of the gravy, which is it's fun to eat also with the cheese and the fries. But getting back to the smoked brisket, I wanted to. Montreal is very popular, very famous for their smoked brisket. It melts in your mouth, and I tried to reproduce the same recipe here. But obviously, they have a secret recipe. But I think I'm pretty close. So I do a 5-day brine with the smoked brisket piece, and then I do a 6-day rub, a dry cure rub, flipping it each day. And then what I do is I smoke it for about 8 hours, and then I let it rest, and then I steam it the next day for about 3 hours, and you have this very flavorful smoky meat. That I put on a sandwich, and also I like to chop up and put on a pizza, our famous signature brisket pizza.
Mm.
And also, the best way to try the brisket is on a poutine. Like, after you put the cheese on the fries and then the gravy, you just plop this chopped brisket on top, and it's just it's so flavorful. The smells, the aromas, the taste in your mouth, It's a very comfort food. It's fun to eat. A lot of people like it. It's getting a lot of popularity, and people keep coming back. Oh, I got to try the poutine with brisket. And people told me, I have to try the poutine with brisket. So there we have it.
Right.
On the menu at Orlando.
Okay, my stomach's rumbling.
There is so much. There are so many different steps to the process. Even with the rice balls, I mean, there's 3, 4, 5 different steps to it. That makes it much more difficult for, you know, the fast food restaurants and other restaurants to really compete with what you do, Orlando. Tell us a little bit about that. It isn't the food necessarily. It's the care and the process.
Precisely. I mean, if you want to just make a, I could have just repeated what I've been doing in Montreal for what it's been open since 1980, our family restaurant. So I could have just repeated the pizzeria and the fast food and burgers and subs and you know, spaghetti with meat sauce and that's it. You know, but I wanted to do something more upscale, bring it up to another level, because I've noticed here everyone. Stops, you know, everyone's driving around their car and they just stop and pick up some food and just gobble it down and that's that, you know, and then everyone's in a hurry. But, you know, you have to really take your time when you eat and you need to really enjoy, you know, a good meal it's hard to compete against the fast food industry in this area because a lot of people are doing that sort of lifestyle. But when they come in either Orlando's, they get the similar home comfort fast food, but just better, you know, just tastier, and I would say just as fast, because we like to pride ourselves on giving good service, you know. And if at lunchtime people are in a hurry and they have half an hour where they can come in, and they'll be served, you know, in 10 or 15 minutes, and then, you know, they'll have that 15, 20 minutes to eat, and then they're off again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to establish a lunch crowd also, which is not easy because everyone, like I said, everyone's driving around. and so, you know, we're doing our best.
Well, that's a wonderful location. There was the Daily Breeze offices were very close to there.
Oh, they haven't been there for a while.
Yeah, that's what's going in there. Has anything gone in there yet?
I have no idea.
I don't think. I don't know.
No idea.
Something
don't know.
Should, though, and soon they'll all eat at Orlando's.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah.
The Daily Breeze offices, where is that located?
Well, they were located just east of you on Torrance Boulevard. There was a big plant there where they actually did the...
Was it PV Boulevard, where PV Boulevard came out? Is that where it was?
No, I mean, it was just east on Torrance.
It was on Torrance, but
yeah.
Where Palos Verdes came out, wasn't it there? I don't know.
East
Isn't
of Prospect.
Isn't just that empty lot that they're building a new medical
east
center
of,
there?
Could be. Okay. It was east of Prospect on Torrance Boulevard.
Yeah. Hey, is Bobby calling in?
Oh, you know what? I have Bobby Christian with us. Bobby, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing today?
Very good, very good. It's been a while. We haven't talked in a week or two. It's been a while. But lots has happened. How was your Thanksgiving, Bobby?
It was great. My wife has this amazing citrus chicken recipe citrus turkey recipe that is phenomenal. So it was an amazing Thanksgiving. Thanks for asking.
Citrus turkey. Awesome. Awesome. And it's a day of food. We're talking with Orlando Mule from Orlando's Pizzeria and Birreria. Birreria?
You got it.
Restaurante. And we're having a wonderful time. But also, Bobby, we want to know what's going on around Redondo Beach.
Well, we got a few things happening on the chamber side of things and a few things happening on the public side of things. Let me start with the public activities. Tomorrow night is the annual holiday stroll at Riviera Village. It kicks off at 5 p.m. There's a parade, and then the El Segundo concert band is going to play around 7:30. So it goes from 5 to 9. If you were unable to make the Halloween stroll, it's a lot of people having a lot of fun. The shops open up, have special deals. The restaurants are all open. And then with this, we also have the parade and the band, so it's going to be a real nice event. Then on Friday, we have Toys for Tacos. This is being held at Hermosa Beach Fish Shop. If you bring in an unwrapped gift, $5 or more, you get one free taco. I mean, what's better than giving and getting a taco? I have no idea. And then next week, we have a network cafe on Thursday the 10th from 11:30 to 1 p.m. at Joe's Crab Shack. It's going to be $25 for members and $30 for non-members. You need the RSVP. So if you want RSVP, give us a call at 310-376-6911. You'll want to talk to Cheryl Canamui. If you have any questions about becoming a member with the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce, you can call us at 310-376-6911. And I know I just talked about the holiday stroll, but next week is also the annual boat parade. So if you want to find out about all the Christmas events or holiday events we have going on this year, check us out at visitredondo.com.
Awesome. 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 And did you guys have a ribbon cutting at Orlando's?
Oh, we did a while back.
It was a while back. Okay. All right. Darren, I missed it.
Yeah.
How are you, Bobby?
I was at Orlando's months ago doing a different radio show. The food there is delicious, and the service could not be better. Like Orlando, like you were just saying, it's so fast you can do it for lunch. You wouldn't expect that from a Italian restaurant.
Yeah. Well, okay.
My Italian group, we're having our annual Christmas lunch there on the 16th. And we're not rushing. it'll probably be a 3-hour lunch.
Fabulous. Thank you for joining us, Bobby. Any other things going on with the chamber that you want to highlight?
Like I said, I can talk a little bit about the 5th annual holiday boat parade that's going to be going on next Saturday, the 12th. It's from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. There's a holiday concert in Santa on the pier, and then after that, it's the boat parade. So it's a whole day. You come down to the pier, you get to see Santa. There's going to be music, and then you have the boat parade, which is, in my opinion, the best in the South Bay. It's the most accessible, definitely, in the South Bay. And then as far as the chamber itself, those are the main events, are those two things that I talked about, the Toys for Tacos and the Network Cafe. We have some events later in the month, but it's kind of winding down because it's in, end of the year. We'll have a lot more stuff going on in January.
Right.
All right. Yeah. The next few weeks are going to be jam-packed full of stuff. A lot of stuff going on for the holidays. Wait until you see my weekend guide tomorrow.
Really?
It's like a telephone book.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Great things. Great things going on.
I should take the chance to say one more thing, that the registration is open for the annual Super Bowl Sunday 5K, 10K. So if you want to get in early, you can join in. You can find out more about that on visitredondo.com. And I know there's a running group that they run twice a week, I think, from the Village Runner. So if you're looking to get in shape or get ready for the Super Bowl 5K, 10K, especially after the holiday season, check out Village Runner. They have a really good series of runs.
Right. Oh, and Bobby, I have to ask, I need to get my weekly report on RedondoBeachWeddings.org. What's the next sort of milestone for RedondoBeachWeddings.org?
Well, as I mentioned last week, we're in beta, so I'm finishing the build of the site right now. It's really nice. It's icon-based menus, and it's fully integrating into what the rest of our members are doing. Our members are going to be able to customize their own drop-down area, and so we're incorporating more video and photos into that. And the big launch is going to be in January. We have some ads already rolling out in Brides Magazine and Brides.com, and we'll be doing a bigger social push, and we're actually going to be doing, I think I mentioned this last time, a big mock wedding, and that's going to be in January, February to help launch the site.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, I hope we're on with that guest list.
Really? That is great. What a great idea. Fantastic.
We're so excited. We always have such great support from our members, but on this especially, our members have been really helpful, providing a lot of information, a lot of content. They're almost as excited as we are about getting this launched. It's going to be a great landing destination to get a grip on how to throw a wedding in the South Bay.
Well, you say you get such great support from your members. I think. Also, the opposite should be said, that the members are getting tremendous support from a Chamber and Visitors Bureau that has the wherewithal and the concept of creating a destination website for a whole almost like mini industry. I mean, you've got beauty salons, catering, entertainment, florists, hotel rooms, officiants, party enhancements, photography,
food,
and videography,
makeup,
food,
hair, flowers,
spirits, stationery,
DJs, live bands.
Weddings are the nexus of an industry, and the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau is bringing that together in a very interesting and unique and creative way.
No one's more excited to hear you say all this stuff than I am. We've been working really hard on it, so thanks for all the kind words. We're really excited to get it out to the public, and more than that, we're really excited to see more people having weddings in Redondo Beach. It's a great destination for weddings. We've got amazing sunsets. We've got all this beach space, and we have dining. We have three restaurants that are ranked in the top 10 by USA Today for LA. So we have a lot of great spaces for people to share special moments. And so I'm really excited to start getting them more involved there.
Right. Well, we're going to get our report next week on RedondoBeachWeddings.org. Thank you so much for joining us, Bobby Christian.
Have a great day.
Have a great day. And yes, it's a fabulous idea. We're excited, Orlando, for everything that is happening for you. But what you're doing, though, is so special. And it's so inviting, and I can't wait to come. I'm coming this weekend.
Sure. You can also come for the 31st of December. We're throwing a New Year's Eve party with a DJ and a 7-course meal.
Really?
Yeah. You want to reserve a table right now?
I think I do. I want to reserve a table right now on air. My wife and I normally would do Disneyland at that time, but we're going to give up Disneyland this year.
No, not Disneyland.
Well, believe me.
Orlando, he goes all the time.
We go all the time.
I go all the time.
And on New Year's Eve night, it's insane.
Really?
The diehards at Disneyland, are you telling me? They are crazed and crazy on New Year's Eve. They are just out of their minds.
Well, so that's what everybody does. We were wondering what people do on New Year's Eve.
We don't have a Times Square. I mean, they do downtown. They're doing some really nice stuff downtown L.A. It's going to be fun. They did it last year. Okay. But, Disneyland is a pretty happy place all the time, but it's really happy on New Year's Eve.
Well, we're doing a simple 7-course meal, you know, with an antipasto italiano. We have an Italian wedding soup, a nice little Caesar salad. I'm making my mom's famous cannolis, which is a nice egg pasta with stuffed with ricotta and spinach. Then we have a nice little granita right in the middle, right before the main course. And in the main course, we have a nice Sicilian chicken, a grilled salmon,
or a
nice rib steak.
So now we want to get to the basics, pizzeriaorlandos.com, pizzeriaorlandos.com. I'm putting in my reservation now.
All right. You can reserve on Open Table if you guys want to rent. The seats are going fast, so the sooner the better.
Okay.
All right, we got the contact information out. Give us your address, Orlando. Where's the restaurant?
The restaurant is located at 1000 Torrance Boulevard, Unit A. It's a lot of people told me it's hard to find, but once you find it, you have to come back over and over again. So it's 1000 Torrance Boulevard at the corner of Prospect and Torrance in Redondo Beach.
Yes. Yes. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. We're so glad to have you on the show and so glad to tell the story. And so glad to highlight your wife's work, Carole Bouvais, CaroleBeauvais.com. What you're going to find there is one of the most unique and amazing sort of conceptualizations of how does she describe her work? How have you heard her describe it?
Her work is an abstract, a contemporary abstract.
Contemporary abstract. Okay,
that's how she describes it.
That works for me, and it's very it's amazing, and
it is amazing.
Yeah, it's just amazing. That's what.
And it goes well with the food.
It goes well. It's all packaged all together.
Orlando Moulet, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. This was fun.
Wonderful.
Let's do it again sometime.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. And that's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. We're back in the swing of things. Tomorrow, Jackie and I are going to talk about all the things that are going on this holiday season.
There's a lot.
Right. So we're going to try to cover that. This is going to be a great show to find out what's going on and to share with your family or friends. So tune in tomorrow at 8 o'clock. We'd love to have you join us with your favorite beverage of choice in the morning. And we'll all have just a wonderful time together. You can call in and ask questions. We look forward to seeing you. Thanks, everybody. And, of course, welcome back, Jackie.
Oh, thank you.
All right. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, Jackie.